Hey everyone, I'm Jordan.
And I'm Maya.
And today is our dedicated Ozil episode, so we'll be focusing on everything to do with Ozil in this case, from how the brothers met him and his role in this entire situation.
Yeah, I feel like as I've learned more and more about all of the defense evidence, Dr. Ozil becomes less relevant, but it is something that gets brought up a lot in prosecution arguments about the brothers, so I feel like it's important for us to give our view of things.
Yeah, I think that's even more so considering that he wasn't even used as a witness in the second trial, but he's mentioned so much in this case.
Mm-hmm. This part of the story is sometimes very soap opera, especially with Dr. Ozil and his love affair with Judalon Smith, but we're mostly going to focus on Dr. Ozil and the brothers and less on Dr. Ozil and Judalon, because it's very complicated and a lot of, like, he said, she said, who's lying, who's telling the truth.
It's very messy.
Yeah.
I think, like, we'll bring up stuff to do with Judalon when it's relevant, I would say. There's also, I think, a lot of, I'd say, like, opinions and facts about the whole Ozil situation that you don't really hear in traditional media. So we'll be focusing a lot on that as well.
Trigger warning for this episode, we discuss suicidal ideation and we mention child sexual abuse and emotional abuse. So we should probably start with who Dr. Ozil is and how he got connected to the Menendez family. Eric was given court-ordered therapy because of some burglaries that he committed when he was in high school, so like a year or two before they killed their parents. We're not going to get too much into those burglaries in this episode, but that is how Ozil became Eric's therapist.
Yeah, and wasn't it that they used Ozil as a therapist because at the time, Kitty's therapist had recommended him, right?
Yeah.
I think this is something that Leslie mentions in her closing argument, but, like, Dr. Ozil is just another example of, like, how unlucky Eric is. I believe she says during her argument that she had a conversation with Eric where they're just talking with each other about how unlucky he is. And Ozil is just, like, another example of that, especially considering that it was another choice of his parents.
It's the kind of thing that makes me wonder if, like, because of how, like, manipulative Jose was, like, did he choose Ozil because he, like, could tell that he was shady, you know?
Anyway, I think, like, the first clue as to Ozil's shadiness is the fact that he was on probation at the time that he was asked to therapize Eric.
Yeah, wasn't it? He, like, had entered into a, like, financial agreement with a patient.
Yeah, it's just one example of him being unethical, which will come up numerous times.
The first meeting that Ozil had with the Menendez family, he met with Jose and Kitty, and then he started meeting with Eric. And he met with Eric about 10 times before they killed their parents. For these meetings, Eric had signed a waiver of confidentiality, which meant that Dr. Ozil could tell anything that Eric said to him to his parents. It's definitely the kind of thing that would make, you know, what Eric told Ozil be, like, not the most reliable.
Yeah, or honest. I mean, especially, like, if you're a child in this sort of situation, and you are very aware of the fact that everything, whether it's little or big, that gets said in these sessions is going straight back to your parents, how honest are you really going to be in the sessions?
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how common or uncommon it is to, like, have your children sign waivers of confidentiality. The only situation where I would see that happening is if, like, the child is at risk of, like, harming themselves, for example, or like, there's some, like, extra risk there. But I think in, like, most normal situations, that shouldn't really be permitted. At least that's my opinion.
I mean, I think that the fact that, like, there was, like, the option to sign a waiver of confidentiality, to me, makes it seem like this wasn't too uncommon, but, like, I think it definitely had an influence on, like, how Eric viewed these sessions.
And I think how he viewed Azil as well.
Right. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of other reasons why Eric wouldn't have told Dr. Azil everything that was happening in their family, but I think it would make anyone hesitant to, like, say negative things about your parents.
Yeah. But this, like, initial contact that Azil has with the parents, since he has meetings with them beforehand, like, how many was it?
I think he had one meeting with them before he started seeing Eric, and then I think he saw them a few other times.
Okay. But, like, that's, I feel like that's enough time for him to have formed his own opinions about not only the parents, but the family unit as a whole, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think he even says that when he met Jose, he didn't like him, and, like, he had started to form impressions of, like, what their family was like just because of the way that Jose was acting.
You knew Mr. Menendez, didn't you?
I did.
And he wasn't your patient, was he?
He was not.
And you had how many meetings with him?
I don't recall, but it was more than one.
Let me ask you this question, Dr. Azil. Did you like him?
No.
Overruled. What was your answer?
No.
Did he treat you respectfully?
Oh, I don't know about that, but that has nothing to do with why I didn't like him.
I didn't ask you that. I just asked you the first half. Did he treat you respectfully?
I don't think he particularly treated me respectfully or anybody respectfully.
Was he condescending towards you?
Yes, he was condescending.
Yeah, I think he also testified to, like, he had made opinions about Kitty as well, and that she did seem depressed, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I think that's a clue as to some of the conclusions he makes about the family, and that plays a bigger role later on.
Yeah. The brothers killed their parents in August of 1989, and Azil was, like, around the family at the memorial service and stuff. Didn't he, like, bill for the hours that he had spent?
Yeah, a bunch of the family members immediately after the death were at the, was it the Bellage Hotel, or it was some hotel in the area that all the family members had gathered at, and Azil went, and then he later charged the brothers for the time he spent talking to them about grieving their parents. So that's yet another thing where it's like, what is going on here?
He, like, tried to play off like it was therapy, but it was, like, definitely not a private therapy session.
Yeah.
Definitely shady.
It's a hint as to what we believe Ozil's motivations are.
Yeah.
We should probably mention that Azil was also married at this time, but he was having an affair with a woman named Judalon Smith, who is another important character in this whole affair.
In the few months after the parents were killed, Eric started acting extremely depressed and was feeling very suicidal. And his cousin, Henry, he started to see, like, weird behavior from Eric, and he told Eric that he should contact Dr. Azil. Wasn't some of the weird behavior that, like, Eric wanted to, like, sleep in the same room as Henry?
Yeah, and there's, like, the stuff about, like, they were, like, walking down a street together, and then he shouted out, like, if Lyle did it, I'll kill him. And there's also the story of, like, them, like, watching a movie on the couch together, and then, like, Eric fell asleep, and then as soon as Henry went to move, like, Eric, like, jolted up.
Yeah, but so Henry told Eric that he thought he should go back to see Dr. Azil. Eric made an appointment with Azil on October 31st, 1989, and he started talking to Azil about how suicidal and depressed he had been after his parents had been killed.
Doesn't Eric say that, like, the only reason why he ended up confessing is because Azil, like, wasn't understanding, like, why he was suicidal, right?
Yeah.
I was having trouble telling him about why I was suicidal. since I hadn't told him that I killed my parents. And so he wasn't really getting it. And so I just decided that I needed to tell somebody, and I decided to tell him right then.
Had you decided to tell him before you went to his office?
No.
And so it was while you were trying to explain why you were suicidal that you decided you should tell him?
Yes.
What did you think? Did you think it would help in some way if you told him?
It would help. It would help in some ways, I guess. I really wasn't thinking that clearly. I really wanted him at that point to tell me that I wasn't a bad person and tell me that I wasn't this horrible, terrible person that I was thinking that I was. And he couldn't do that unless he knew that I killed my parents.
Eric said that he didn't go to this session intending to confess. He just wanted to get help because of how suicidal he was feeling. He had been having intense dreams about killing himself and about seeing his parents' bodies, and was just very emotionally and mentally in a very bad place.
Yeah. Wasn't dealing with it very well, to say the least.
Yeah. Which, given his life circumstances, I don't think is that unsurprising. He probably should have been in therapy, but not with this man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Eric eventually decides to have Oziel go on a walk with him around the neighborhood.
And at some point in the session, as we were sitting in the park, we just discussed going back to the office. And we headed back to the office, and right before we entered the front door of the office building in which I had my office, he leaned back against, as I recall, a parking meter that was in front of the office door and said, we did it. And I don't know if he said it, we killed our parents, but I asked him, you mean you killed your parents? He said yes.
I feel like at this point, when Eric tells Oziel, kind of what I had imagined is that, the reason why Oziel had was, kept saying to Eric, I don't understand why you're suicidal. I think he had already suspected it and was trying to get it out of Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in this situation, if your patient comes to you and is telling you that they're suicidal and their parents have recently been murdered, wouldn't you initially just go to, oh, well, their parents have been murdered, brutally, they must be very depressed and sad over that, that's why they're suicidal. Not necessarily, keep poking and prodding them and basically saying, no, tell me really why you're suicidal. That's another clue there as to Oziel's intentions, in my opinion.
I believe Junalan said that Oziel told her that he suspected that Eric was going to confess to him during this session.
Yeah.
Which... again, why was he talking to Judalon Smith about
his patient?
His patient?
Yeah. After that, they just head back to his office, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then here is where things get even more confusing and messy. So now we have, multiple different, I guess you could say, POVs of what took place, on this evening, and, what was said... and what different things meant. You've got Eric's version, plus Lyle. You have Judalon, and then you also have Oziel.
Yeah, parsing out what is true and what is not is very difficult. But we're gonna try. Eric starts to tell Dr. Oziel about what led up to them killing their parents and what happened after on that night.
Yeah. I believe in Eric's testimony, doesn't he essentially just say that he told Oziel about stuff like driving to San Diego, using Donovan's ID, and buying guns?
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells him the brothers just burst in on the parents, right?
Yeah.
And started firing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is consistent with what the brothers testified to. But I guess at this point as well, if you sort of accept the defense theory... you're already sort of going into this thinking that, well, the brothers aren't going to tell him certain things because they're not talking about the sexual abuse at all.
Right. like they Eric didn't discuss with Ozeal any of the motivation behind any of the actions that he and Lyle took that week. But he told Ozeal that I think the way he said it was like Eric and Lyle started having conversations a week before or something. But then Ozeal characterized that as Eric saying that he and Lyle started planning to kill their parents a week before they did.
Yeah.
Ozeal was basically the prosecution's, like, star witness in the first trial because he was really their alleged proof that the brothers had planned to kill their parents. And, like, he provided the evidence of premeditation because, according to Ozeal, the brothers had told him that there was a plan to kill their parents. But when he was cross-examined, he couldn't say a specific plan that the brothers had told him about what they had come up with as an idea of how they were going to kill their parents before they actually did it.
Okay, then I ask you, Dr. Ozeal, what was the plan?
The plan?
The plan.
You mean the specific plan I've already elaborated in terms of what they did?
No. What you do is what you do. But what was the plan before anything was done?
The plan was to do what they did.
The plan was to... What do you mean to do what they did? To walk into the family room and shoot their parents? That's a plan? That was the plan?
I didn't say that.
Well, why don't you tell me, what was this plan? You've described it as a plan. You've described it as a perfect plan, as an unchangeable plan. What was the plan?
All right, it is argumentative. Objection sustained.
Can you tell me what the plan was that you have indicated they both referred to repeatedly?
The initial goal was to get the father out of their life. They couldn't figure out how to live and how to be able to continue living and feel any freedom at all or any ability to be happy with the father in their life. And that was the inception of them sitting down and beginning to discuss how to accomplish that end. And okay, they had a series of discussions over time that changed variously, that related to what to do and which elements to put in the plan and which elements to take out of the plan and whether to put the mother in the plan, leave her in the plan, or take her out of the plan. And those discussions took place over a period of time.
What was the plan? You've told us the goal, kill the father. What's the plan?
Overruled. Had you finished the answer, by the way?
No.
All right, the question is, again,
so what was the plan they eventually work out if, over these discussions over time? What is the plan?
And I'm assuming that you're asking me only elements that I knew of as of October 31st and November 2nd.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. Move to strike that remark and ask that the witness be admonished.
All right. The question is relating to the two conversations on those two dates.
Okay.
It's in these notes from these 2 days that you use the word plan repeatedly. Isn't that true?
Yes, it's true.
And after all, you dictated these notes. These are all your words. Correct?
Sustained.
Well, whether you're trying to repeat what someone else said, the only thing we know for sure is if I listen to this tape, I hear El Jerome Ozeal, right?
I would think so.
Yes. So, you use the word plan over and over again. What was the plan?
The plan was to kill the father in some violent way that evolved into the purchase of shotguns that did include finding a way to predict when they would be able to kill the father and the mother in a way, and also develop an alibi about where they would be such that they would not be detected, and also to think through the different things that could link them to the crime, and to make sure that they thought of all different aspects of things that they thought could link them to the crime and try to develop a way such as to rule out any of the things that would be evidence that would be left at the crime scene and to have an effective alibi, and then to pick a time when their mother and father were in a situation in the home, and to ultimately to kill the mother and the father. But as I said, it was not their original idea or motive to kill their mother. That was something that evolved.
Well, now, did they tell you that they couldn't think of a single way that they could have killed their father without their mother being in the room? Is that what they were telling you?
They never said those specific things at all.
Did they tell you that this wine tasting party was an effective alibi when they got there after the place had closed?
They did believe that the wine tasting party would be an alibi.
Uh-huh. And when, to your knowledge, Dr. Ozeal, did they even find out there was such a thing as that wine tasting party that day?
They never discussed with me, Eric or Lyle, when they specifically came up with the wine tasting party.
But it was your understanding that this wine tasting party was part of a plan that was being debated over some period of time?
No, it was my understanding that they began discussions of how to conclude or effect the murders some period of time before the murders, and that the plan evolved until it felt like it had a perfect element to it, where it wasn't possible for them to be detected, and once they had it in that perfect form, they didn't alter it.
Well, let me see if I understand this. They didn't give you any information whatsoever about any kind of synchronized or worked out or thought through set of or chain of events. Because I'm not hearing that from you.
That was a key cross-examination moment for me, where I was like, you know, it really just destroyed the whole purpose of him being there.
That stood out in my head as well when I was watching the cross-examination. He says that Eric confessed all of this information to him about the plan and what the plan was, but when asked about the details of the plan, he doesn't know what the details of the plan were before the killings actually took place, right?
Right.
Like, if, for example, Eric did divulge, like, details of a plan to him, you kind of would expect him to say, Eric told me that when him and his brother sat down and discussed what they were going to do, and then he would list out a set of things that they thought out beforehand and premeditated.
Right.
At least that's how I view a plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, people expect that there would be evidence that the brothers had sat down together and discussed how they were going to kill their parents, and then killed their parents based on that. But there's no evidence that they did that.
Yeah. Because going by Ozil's testimony, essentially the brothers decided to kill their parents and then didn't discuss anything, but then went and bought guns and killed their parents just spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what Ozil says, right?
Yeah, well, that's where I think it gets a little confusing about what's in his notes versus what he says he remembered. I believe, like, in his notes, there was no specific mention of Eric having told him about a plan to kill their parents. But then Ozil ended up saying, oh no, they did tell me about that, I just didn't put it in the notes.
Yeah. Sort of what I came away thinking, especially now, is that he basically took a lot of what the brothers said, or specifically Eric in this case, and sort of input his own, like, conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really comes across to me like.
Yeah.
I think part of his cross-examination is important in this regard, in terms of, do you remember when, Leslie brings him up on the fact that, like, in his testimony, he talks about how they, like, were talking about, like, how, like, they were doing this as, like, the perfect murder, and it had to be perfect, and, like, nowhere in his notes at all is the word perfect.
Yeah.
Like, ever said by either brother.
Yeah.
I think it's another part of the case where it's, like, I think if people knew about it, or, like, had seen it themselves, maybe it would maybe might not change their opinion necessarily, but it might make them rethink a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like Ozil get treated like 100% credible witnesses in most documentaries on this case, especially the earlier ones. So I think bringing up more evidence of like Ozil's inconsistencies in testimony, his absolute destruction on cross-examination, the fact that he wasn't used as a witness in the second trial, could maybe alter some people's views about how reliable he was actually as an actual witness.
Yeah, that's very true. I feel like in so many documentaries and made-for-TV movies or whatever, like presentations about this case, what Ozil said in those notes is taken as like verbatim exactly what happened, and his like credibility is never questioned, even though during the trial it was very obvious that he had zero credibility. But yeah, so Eric told Ozil some of the details of like the week leading up to the killings, and then also how they had covered their tracks afterwards, basically.
Yeah.
But then Ozil starts to ask Eric why they killed their parents. And Eric tells Ozil that he doesn't know why they did it.
Now, when he asked you why, what was your reaction to that question?
I wasn't expecting that question.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I hadn't even thought about telling him. I hadn't thought about what I was going to say. And it just shook me that he asked me why. So I just told him what I told him.
When Dr. Ozil asked you why, did you tell him?
No, I told him I didn't know.
And why did you tell him you didn't know?
Because I didn't know how to respond. He was very forceful. He was very aggressive. And he was very interested in you know, the details and everything about it. And that's not why I was there to talk to him.
I mean, isn't that sort of like the excuse that Ozil gave to the brothers as to why they should keep coming back and seeing him? Because they had to get to like the root of like why it happened.
Right. I think like Ozil took that to mean like there was some deep psychological like reason why like they did it, and they didn't truly understand why they had been motivated to kill their parents, but like he could get to the root of all of their issues through therapy.
What was said about it is that like Ozil said that like he could work out like the family constellation and sort of like the how the family like interacted with each other, and like why were the like what were the psychological reasons why this happened. And
yeah, when in reality the reason Eric said he didn't know why it happened is because he didn't want to tell Ozil why it happened.
Yeah.
A question that is brought up a lot in like documentaries and in more pro-prosecution arguments about this case is, why would Eric confess to his therapist that he killed his parents but not confess to his therapist that his father had sexually abused him? People love to bring this up as a reason why Eric probably wasn't sexually abused.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate it whenever, like, I see so many people online bring that up. They always say, like, how could he have told his therapist that he murdered his parents, but he wouldn't have told his therapist that, like, he was sexually abused? And I feel like whenever people say that, they're really self-reporting. Like, they're basically saying, I have no idea about the intricacies of child abuse, trauma, or how it affects people on a psychological level, and how long it takes those people to actually be able to say that something has happened to them. There's a world of difference between killing your abuser in a state of like panic, fear, adrenaline, heat of passion, to years and years and years of rape, psychological abuse, physical abuse. Like it's not comparable.
Yeah. As we've discussed before, it takes an average of 30 years for a male victim to admit that he's been sexually abused. So the fact that 3 months after it stopped happening, Eric didn't tell his therapist about it is really not that surprising.
Yeah. I feel like an easy way of putting it is, I would just ask this question to anyone. Think of yourself, like, if you had been, like, abused as a child, right? Do you not think you would be, like, so embarrassed to the point where you would not want anyone to know?
Yeah, especially in the 80s, the, like, shame around sexual abuse was so strong. In Eric's testimony, he says that the reason he didn't tell Aziel is because he was ashamed.
Is there some reason why you could tell Dr. Aziel that you had killed your parents, but couldn't tell him the things that your father had done to you all those years?
Yes.
And why do you think that was?
It was because I just felt so guilty about the killing my parents, and I had tried to tell different people about that, but there was no way that I was going to talk about what happened between my dad and I. It was so close in time to when it happened. I just couldn't talk about it. I was much too ashamed to even deal with it.
Let me ask you this. Over the years, had you been tempted to tell people about the fact that your father was having sex with you?
Definitely not. Never a temptation.
What did you want to do with that information, with those facts of what was going on between you and your father?
I wanted to keep it as secret as possible and bury it and throw it in the ocean and have it disappear, basically.
It's going to take more than one therapy session for someone to overcome that shame and embarrassment and 12 years of being told you can never tell anyone this.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just kind of rude of me, but whenever I hear people bring up this point, or want to call it argument, about Eric not telling Aziel about the sexual abuse, what you're just telling me you're stupid. That's what you're telling me. You're an idiot. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I feel like there are other arguments you could make. Like, if, for example, if you didn't believe the sexual abuse happened because you were uninformed or uneducated, right? Or if you didn't really know the intricacies of the case, I feel like at that point there's other intelligent arguments you could make without having the information that aren't, well, why didn't he tell his therapist that he was sexually abused like a few months ago by his own dad? Like, it's so, I refuse to believe that there are people that are that dumb, but I mean, clearly there are, so.
It's like what we were just talking about. There's just a lot of stupid people in the world.
So frustrating, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is, like, the fact that Eric didn't tell Aziel that he had been molested by his father is not proof that he was not molested by his father.
Yeah. And all the research supports that. But, anyway, moving on from that, during this whole time when Eric has confessed to the killings and he's giving, like, certain details, according to Eric, he's always, like, sort of trying to get it back to him being suicidal and wanting help for that, and Aziel is sort of just ignoring it and just prodding him for more details.
I was there to try to feel better and talk about how not to kill myself, and that's not what he wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that shows that Aziel was not really motivated to help the brothers, or at least, at this point, to help Eric. I think he was really, like, wanting to be involved in this dramatic thing that his patients had done, and he wanted to know every little detail about it so that he could
essentially blackmail them.
Yeah, and, like, use it to manipulate people, and because, I mean, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but I think he was probably like, wow, I get to be, like, a part of this famous murder that happened, you know? Like, it was my patient, and they did it, and he's telling me all about it, and, like, I want to know everything.
I mean, I think he felt that the whole way through. I mean, isn't there that information from his, former, like, nanny, family nanny, who said that, like, he called her up just to tell her, that, like, to check the news, because I'm going to be a media star.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did she testify?
She did testify, but I don't know if she said that during her testimony or if that was only in the section that was outside the presence of the jury. So I'm not sure if the jurors heard that.
Because the defense brought in a number of witnesses who were, like, people associated with Aziel to basically say what a shady guy he was. When Aziel was testifying, it was before Judelon had testified, and I think that she hadn't officially agreed to testify while he was testifying. So, like, he didn't know that she was going to come in and refute a lot of things that he said about her and about her involvement in the case. But eventually, she did come in and basically accuse him of being a master manipulator. And she was the main person the defense called to say that he was a really shady guy.
Yeah. And a lot of evidence that sort of came in with her directly contradicted and refuted things that Ozil had testified to in terms of his motivations and just his general attitude towards the brothers.
Yeah.
That's something that we'll talk about later on in the episode.
So at a certain point in Eric and Ozil's conversation, Ozil asks Eric if Lyle knew that he had confessed. And Eric says no. And Ozil says, okay, well, we should call your brother and have him come over here. Which he did not need to do.
Yeah.
He did get Eric's permission to call Lyle. But at this point, what Eric told Ozil should be confidential between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like Ozil shouldn't have even suggested to Eric, we should call your brother. Because at that point, everything Eric has told Ozil is still confidential.
Right. At this point in the story, there was no reason that anything that was said between them should be told to anyone else.
Another side thing is, this is all happening on Halloween. Isn't that so creepy?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a weird coincidence.
I believe Lyle was passing out Halloween candy to, like, kids when Ozil called him to tell him to come over.
Yeah.
He doesn't specifically say what Eric told him. I think he says, like, your brother told me everything. And then Lyle goes over to the office. At this point, Lyle already did not trust Dr. Ozil.
He had a previous... I'm not sure if it was multiple previous sessions with Ozil. It was to do with some sort of counseling with him and Jamie, I think.
Yeah, his girlfriend. He went to Ozil for advice about it or something.
We don't really know the details, but from what Lyle says is that, like, from those sessions, he learned to not trust Ozil. But I remember there's something, like, outside of the presence of the jury where they're getting into, like, Ozil's, like, fear of the brothers, right? And it's something that's, like, privileged. And apparently there was something in one of those sessions with Lyle that made Ozil afraid of him.
Oh. Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Ozil was afraid of Lyle from a previous session?
Yeah, that's what he alleges, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know if that's actually true or not, but we have no idea what it is, so it's not it's not really relevant, in my opinion. It's not. But I wonder what that could have been, though.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. So, yeah, so Lyle arrives at the office, and he is very angry at Eric for having confessed to Ozil without telling Lyle that he was going to do that.
I was having this conversation with Ozil, and at some point I expressed that I felt like my brother had in some way trusted Dr. Ozil more than me, and why did he go to Dr. Ozil and not me first? Because Dr. Ozil had said that Eric was suicidal and had been having a lot of emotional problems and might commit suicide, and that's why he came to him. And I felt like he should have come to me, and I felt hurt. Just to a large degree and sort of betrayed by the fact that they had sort of gotten together and talked about things and I had not had a discussion with my brother like this, really. We had not been able to talk about it. And so I was, in saying that to Dr. Ozil, my brother got very, I don't know if upset's the right word, but he was... In saying those things and not wanting to talk about what he had talked to Dr. Ozil about, he was feeling, I guess you could use the word upset. It wasn't that he was angry, but he was just very unhappy about that.
Were you angry?
I was angry.
Were you angry with your brother?
I was angry with him.
Were you frightened?
Of the situation, yes.
Were you emotional?
It was a very intense meeting, with me yelling at my brother, Ozil telling me that I seemed menacing to him, and me sort of feeling cornered, partly my own fault, because I didn't want to go and talk to them about what they wanted to talk about, yet I really couldn't leave.
Ozil said that he was feeling threatened by Lyle at this point. And he tells the brothers that if he feels threatened, he can break confidentiality and go to the police.
Yeah, I believe he said to Lyle that, like, he seemed menacing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, the fact that, like, Ozil said that, why would the brothers then threaten him after he said that?
Right.
If he has just told them, hey, this won't be confidential anymore if you threaten me.
Right. According to Ozil, like, he tells the brothers this, and then he continues to feel threatened by them. But according to the brothers, as soon as Ozil said that, Lyle was trying to not make him feel threatened because he didn't want Ozil to go to the police.
Did Dr. Ozil say anything to you about confidentiality?
Yes.
What did he say?
Well, he said that I seemed menacing to him, and that that there was potential confidentiality, but that if somebody threatened him, or if he felt threatened, that there would not be confidentiality, and he could just go to the police, and with the information he had, and actually, I believe he said that he would be obligated to go, but I'm not positive. But he said that if he felt threatened, it wouldn't be confidential, but that there was supposed to be confidentiality, and if he wasn't threatened, then this would be confidential, and he couldn't go to the police even if he wanted to. And this long discussion about narrative, more like, about that.
Did you want him to go to the police?
No. I told him that that's exactly what I was afraid he was going to do.
Did you want him to feel threatened?
No. I wanted him to feel the opposite.
Why?
Because of what he just told me.
This is, I think, like, a key moment where their stories differ. And to me, the brothers' version of events makes way more sense. Like,
yeah.
If someone tells you, hey, if you keep doing this thing, I'm going to go tell the cops, you're probably not going to keep doing that thing.
Yeah.
Did Ozil tell Lyle anything about what Eric had said to him before Lyle started?
No. That's the thing, is that Lyle, I think Lyle even had said to Ozil, like, I don't want to hear anything, like, I just want to talk to my brother. And then that's when, like, Eric, like, ran out the room crying, and then he, like, just left.
Right, okay.
And then Lyle runs after Eric.
Yeah. And then Ozil goes to follow both of them. At this point, Eric is already gone, though. Eric is, like, in his car. Ozil tries to get Lyle to come back in, and Ozil says that Lyle's response to him trying to get him to come back in for more therapy was that, like, Lyle said to Dr. Ozil, good luck, Dr. Ozil, and then left. Did both of them say that Lyle said good luck?
No, in Lyle's testimony, he says that he doesn't, like, recall, like, saying it, or that he doesn't remember exactly.
Okay.
He's just trying to leave.
At this point, that statement specifically made Ozil feel very threatened, and that the brothers were going to kill him.
I don't know. Like, if you're trying to get someone to come back, and they say to you, good luck, and they leave, how does that logically follow that they're like, oh, okay, we're gonna kill you?
Yeah. And also, like, considering Eric's emotional condition when they left, like, I don't think that someone who is very emotionally distraught and, like, crying is gonna turn around and, like, plot your murder, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's another thing where it's like, Lyle probably did say that, but this is Ozil using that and sort of trying to misconstrue it and to be like, oh, well, this made me feel very threatened when he said that.
Well, now's probably a good time to, like, discuss sort of the importance of Ozeal feeling threatened or not. Because that's a pretty, like, pivotal part of this, is that Ozeal said that he felt threatened by the brothers during this session, and that made him feel like everyone in his life could be, like, threatened by the Menendez brothers, including Judalon Smith, who he eventually told. Her life had to be in danger from the brothers for it to be justified for him to break confidentiality and tell her.
Yeah, that was Ozeal's explanation as to why he had to tell Judalon about the brothers, right?
Right.
Except, remember that Ozeal's license was on probation at this time still. To me, it's pretty obvious that he basically had to come up with some sort of threat or reason as to why he told Judalon so that he wouldn't lose his license. I don't think those are the reasons why he told her. I don't think he told her because he was afraid that she was in danger. It makes no sense whatsoever. The brothers had never seen her before. They didn't know who she was, and I believe in his testimony he gives some really ridiculous explanation, like, I was afraid that the brothers would break into my house, and they would go through my files, and they would see that Judalon, that I knew Judalon, and then that would make her a target. It's the most ridiculous explanation I've ever heard.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I do think there's some, like, merit to Ozeal feeling like his life was threatened by the brothers. Like, he did take some steps to protect himself after this session. And I mean, like, the brothers even say in their testimony, like, Ozeal seemed very, like, nervous and,
yeah,
like, agitated and concerned for himself.
I think you could definitely argue that in these initial stages, he was slightly concerned. Because, like, I think one of the steps he took as well, like, he bought his own shotguns, right?
Yeah, he, like, immediately after the brothers left, he, like, called his wife and told her to get the kids out of the house. Like, I could understand him taking that step of, like, oh my god, they murdered their parents and they might murder me now that I know, and, like, I need to do all these things. He did do some things that make me think he probably was feeling, like, pretty freaked out for his own safety. Yeah.
Let me play devil's advocate here, just for a second.
Alright, go for it.
I think one could argue that perhaps Ozeal took these steps and actions because he wanted to use it as a way to manipulate his wife and Judalon. For example, we know from Judalon that he had asked Judalon to call his wife and threaten her and pretend to be Eric Menendez.
She feels these guys are not a danger anymore at all.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, I think you should call up and you should use one of your disguise voices. Hello, Laurel. This is Eric. You're in trouble. I'm going to kill you.
I think that in itself is sort of evidence that, like, he was trying to he was using this whole situation to also manipulate his wife. So when he tells his wife, oh, get out of the house, my patients have confessed to killing their parents and I need you to be safe, and then he takes the steps of, like, buying shotguns for home protection, I think that's him possibly trying to scare his wife even more, in order to manipulate her. And we know that, like, he would do that because of what he had Judalon do.
I did not think about that.
I thought of that recently, because when I was going over, like, the whole, well, maybe he was kind of afraid, and then I thought, well, actually, he did also do he was known for being incredibly manipulative and trying to control everything in his life. I think someone like Ozeal could see this opportunity and situation and be like, ooh, I could do something here with this.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest proof that he was probably not feeling as threatened as he claims he was is that he didn't go to the police.
That's another point.
Which, in my opinion, would have been the right thing to do if he genuinely felt like his life was in danger from the brothers.
Yeah.
He gave some really bullshit arguments as to why he didn't do that. He essentially said, like, he was, like, worried that the brothers' confession to him wouldn't be enough to, like, get them arrested, and then they would find out that he had gone to the police, and then they would really feel motivated to kill him.
That doesn't really make sense, though, because what's the case that they brought... I think they bring this up in argument during the trial. I think it's called, like, the Tarasov case?
Yeah.
Ozil knew about that, so he would know, wait, I can go to the police and it will be fine, right? Like, I'm not going to get in trouble, the brothers won't know that I specifically have gone to the police.
In my view, like, if he had gone to the police, especially if he had told the police, like, I'm concerned that my life's in danger from these people, the police would take steps to protect him from the brothers.
Yeah, I also... Wouldn't him going to the police be protection in itself? Because if he had gone to the police, and the brothers knew he had gone to the police, why would the brothers then kill him? Because then it makes it look very obvious that the brothers killed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just gone to the police and said, hey, I think my patients, Eric and Lyle Menendez, may be plotting to kill me. The police are like, oh, it's fine, don't worry. He leaves. He's murdered. And the police are like, oh... There was no reason for him not to go to the police at this point if he truly did feel threatened.
Yeah. I kind of go back and forth on, like, how threatened I think he felt at this point. But to me, the biggest thing is, like, he didn't go to the police. And, taking it back a step, he didn't seem motivated to, like, convince Eric and Lyle to go to the police.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that something that... Dr. Burgess speaks about in her testimony? She's asked, like, questions about, like, what should you do in a situation where your patients have confessed to murder, and you're supposed to basically try and get your patients to confess to the police.
Yeah.
And there's no indication that Dr. Ozil ever, like, even suggested to them that they should go to the police.
Right.
God, the more you think about it, like, there's just more, like, there's still, like, so many things that get uncovered where you're like, wow, this guy, man.
This is why it's like, Eric really had the worst luck. If he had confessed to a competent therapist, things probably would have turned out a lot differently. I think things would have been a lot different because I think Eric might have been convinced to go to the police at this point because of how suicidal and depressed he was feeling over it. It was obviously weighing on his conscience.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Like, I feel like someone with, like, the personality type of Eric, from what we've seen, at least, I mean, clearly, like, he has quite a heavy conscience, right? But at this point, it's weighing on him so much that I think he could easily have been convinced, right? To, like, hey, you should do the right thing, you should go to the police. And he probably would have done it with enough, like, encouragement and, like, support.
Yeah. You know, after the brothers had confessed to him, Ozil goes and tells Judon Smith, his mistress, that the brothers had killed their parents. And he said that he had gone to her house that night because he was afraid that if he went to his house, the brothers knew where he lived and they would find him and try to kill him.
And you didn't seek to be with your wife and children to look over them at this time of great danger?
Actually, I thought that if I was with my wife and children, that would increase their danger immeasurably, because my fear was that Eric and Lyle might that evening have come looking for me. They knew where I lived, and I was afraid that if, in fact, in some way, they could have followed me to where I was, they would have found me with my wife and children. The reason I stayed away from my wife and children was specifically to be protective of them.
So instead you went to Ms. Smith's and put her, based on what you're telling us, in danger. Isn't that what you did?
Actually, I didn't think at the time that Eric and Lyle would have been going to Ms. Smith's. Eric knew where I lived. And my concern, my most immediate concern, was that the highest probability was that they would go to my house. And for that reason, I didn't go to my house.
I thought I just heard you say you thought they might follow you. They could have been out there lurking. Didn't you consider that?
Yes, they could have been.
And so if they were out there lurking, you were about to lead them to your girlfriend. Is that right?
Well, if in fact they were out there lurking, that would be correct.
And up until that point, on October 31st, had you ever mentioned your girlfriend to Eric and Lyle Menendez?
No, I hadn't.
Did you have any reason to believe that they even knew that you had a girlfriend?
By the way, the word girlfriend is your characterization, but no, I didn't have any reason to believe.
Would you be more comfortable with the word lover?
You're going to characterize the relationship any way you like, so I don't care which word you use.
Well, you
I
just did tell us it was a relationship, whether you had a sexual relationship with this woman.
Yeah, I said there was a sexual component to it, right.
Okay.
He said he thought the brothers would follow him as, like, justification for him telling Judelon about the confession, because that would connect the two of them, and that's why, like, her life was now in danger. But he chose to go to her house. He was the one that brought the danger to her. The brothers didn't know that she existed.
Yeah.
But then, according to her, she was in the office at the time of the confession, and, like, this is where it gets really messy.
Yeah, it gets really messy.
There was a tape where he sort of admitted that she was in the office at the time.
Jerry, nothing is wrong with me. I know the truth, and you placed my life in jeopardy by putting me in that office and putting me in that room and letting those boys see me.
And then you're the one who duplicated the tapes. The bottom line is, look, let's stop this nonsense.
Because you made me fear for your life that they were going to come into the office and kill you.
They might have. Get out of here. You were there.
I know. And so unfortunately now, I know because I overheard stuff and I saw them and I know. And you told me word for word everything that happened in those sessions.
You don't know a lot of things that happened and a lot of what was told you wasn't even accurate.
Jerry, you were not lying. You gave the session word for word to me and to Laurel.
At one point she said that she overheard parts of the session. At some points, she said that she didn't hear anything the brothers said and that everything that she knew about the confession was from what Ozeal had told her.
Yeah. But I bet she did say that, like, she was there and she saw the whole, like, Eric run out crying and Lyle running after him and the elevator. And then she said that she went into Ozeal's office with him after the brothers left, right?
Right.
The only important piece of information that you sort of need at this point is... later on, at least, the police have Judelon, like, wired up, so her conversation with Ozeal gets tape recorded. And on this tape recording, you can hear Ozeal kind of, like, berating her and complaining at her for going to the police and telling the police about the brothers. He's pretty mad about it. And he also says, during this conversation, like, Judelon, there's $14 million involved here.
I tried to tell you before. If you want to believe that, then I'll just get out of here. If you need to be, let me do what you want, okay? You're not gonna know. There was $14 million involved in this.
So?
So? Figure it out.
I don't know what that means.
Well, figure it out.
Which I think gives you more of a clear picture as to what his motivations were.
Right. That was the value of the Menendez estate.
It's what he thought.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that tape recording definitely proves that he had, like, financial motivations involved in, like, his decision making, too. Like, I think he was the type of person where he was already thinking about how he could use this to manipulate people, like, as soon as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the reason that he told Judelon about the confession was because he wanted to manipulate her to stay with him and to, like, for her to feel, like, afraid and have him be her protector. I think that what he told her about the confession was manipulated because he was trying to use it to manipulate her and, like, make her feel afraid. And so he, like, exaggerated a lot of things that Eric had told him. He did end up telling her a pretty detailed description of the confession.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing where it's like, if he truly was doing this just because he was afraid for her life or whatever, like, he didn't need to tell her all these details. All he had to say was, my patients have confessed to, like, killing people, and I'm afraid you might be in danger. That's it.
After Eric had fled the session and Lyle followed him They went back to the Beverly Hills house. Lyle wanted to know what Eric had told Azeel. So once Eric had calmed down, he told Lyle that he had told Dr. Azeel about the killings, but that he didn't tell Azeel why the killings had happened or, you know, any details of the abuse. So the brothers decided that they would go back to Dr. Azeel because of how threatened he was seeming and that he had told them he felt threatened and they didn't want him to go to the police. So they were sort of trying to, like, placate him by deciding to continue to have therapy. But feeling pressured to have a therapy session is not really, like, a great foundation for getting truthful information out of someone. And the brothers had decided that they wouldn't tell Dr. Azeel any of the details of the abuse, of any more of the family dynamic than he already knew.
Yeah. November 2nd, the brothers return to Azeel's office for therapy.
Yeah, so they go back. And the brothers said that at the beginning of the session, Azeel still seemed, like, very tense. Azeel told the brothers in the November 2nd session that the reason he wanted to conduct the session is because he wanted to collect mitigating details and put together the family constellation, as he put it, so that if they ever went to a trial or were ever arrested for killing their parents, that basically he could be helpful to them in the event of a trial. According to Azeel, the brothers told him that their parents had a terribly abusive relationship, with their father being the main abuser. They hated their father. He was controlling, domineering. He made them feel inadequate and inferior, and that was why he should be killed, so that they wouldn't feel dominated by him anymore. According to Azeel, the brothers told him that they had to kill their mother because she wouldn't have been able to live without their father, and because she was already depressed and suicidal, and it was basically putting her out of her misery to kill her. And also, they had this perfect plan to kill their father, and they couldn't figure out how to kill Jose without killing Kitty too.
See, this is the sort of thing where it's like I could see them in these sessions telling Azeel this, because it is generally what Azeel also knew about the parents. And so it sort of fits with, I think, what Azeel's theory would have been, too.
Yeah. That's kind of what the brothers said about, like, how the session went, was that, you know, they had been telling Azeel that they didn't know why they killed their parents. So Azeel sort of started, like, speculating and talking about why he thought they would have done it based on what he knew about their family already. And the brothers sort of went along with it because they didn't want to tell him the truth. And also because Azeel said, you know, oh, your mother probably would have wanted to be killed anyways. And that, like, that made Eric feel better.
You told us that there had been this discussion by Dr. Azeel that your mother was suicidal and that what you had done was really putting her out of her misery. Remember Dr. Azeel testifying about that?
Well, I believe... He said that we were doing, had done her a favor.
Was that what you said or Eric said, or is that what Dr. Azeel said?
No, that's what he said. I never said that, and but it did make Eric feel better, and so I agreed. And I guess there might have been some further discussion that putting her out of her misery or something like that. It's possible.
The brothers said that, like, Azeel had, like, a pretty good grasp on some of the issues in their family, but, like, they weren't gonna tell him anything else.
I feel like what the brothers say here makes sense as well, because considering that they had agreed that they weren't gonna mention anything about the sexual abuse or, like, anything around those issues, they had to come up with something to tell him, right?
Right. Because they felt like they had to come back to the therapy session, but they're not going to tell him the truth, they might as well just go with what he said and, like, placate him and just kind of go along with whatever analysis he was doing.
So when he talked about this vindicating yourselves and having a level of power yourselves. When he suggested it, did you say, no, you're wrong, or I've never thought about that, or just agree, or what'd you do?
No, see, it wasn't like, it wasn't that I was just saying yes, 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 but, I mean, I was mostly agreeing, and I wasn't correcting a lot of things. But the way he says, you know, gives a long explanation, like, using words like that, you know, vindicating levels of power and stuff, and it fits to some degree that there was power differences and the control, and so it was very easy to just agree with the things he was saying and discuss it.
The way that, like, Lyle talks about Ozeal is kind of funny because he's like, he loves to talk, so I just kind of let him talk.
I feel like you hear that completely in the 12-11 tape as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, most of it is just Ozeal speaking.
I think that tape shows that a lot of the things the brothers said about Ozeal were true, and, like, how he was running that session was very similar to how they described him running this session. Mm-hmm. We'll get into it in our next episode. Right, that's the next one we're doing?
Yeah.
There were a few, like, other specific things that they, like, contradicted each other on. Like, the two types of murder thing.
That's another thing where it's, like, kind of confusing because, like, Ozeal and the brothers both give different descriptions of what he told them, right?
Right.
The way I remember it is that Ozeal basically gave the brothers, like, two different scenarios where, and, like, one scenario was, like, fought out beforehand, everything was sort of decided beforehand and they had fought everything through, there were no feelings involved. And then the other type of killing was where it was like someone had like burst into, I don't know, like their wife cheating on them or something, and they had like taken out a gun and shot like whoever was there, right?
Yeah.
So like one was more of like a heat of passion type killing and the other one was like more of like a, I don't know what you want to call it, like sociopathic, like planned out type of killing.
They did end up saying like it wasn't like a heat of passion thing. It was like more like the one where it was more planned out.
And did you and your brother pick one of those two?
Yeah, I'm not sure which one of us picked. But I know that we both agreed that that it was more, neither one fit. It certainly wasn't the first one. And
why do you say it certainly wasn't the first one? The first one's where somebody, a husband comes home and finds his wife in bed, something like that.
Right.
Why wasn't it that one?
Well, because, just because we knew what, you know, that was something that was sort of like a surprise, and that the person didn't know anything about the situation until he walked in the room, and that certainly wasn't what happened. And, you know, it was more like the second one, where we knew what the threat was and what the issue was and the problem, and we had taken steps to protect ourselves, and this had sort of occurred because of that, and it was just more like the second one. So we just said that it was more like the second one.
Now, when he described it here, he said he used words like premeditated, a job that needed to be accomplished, weren't many feelings. Is that what you agreed with? Is that
no,
the way he described it to
you?
No,
he didn't say anything about a job needed to be accomplished or anything like that. He just described it as something where there was, I believe he did say, a problem, and that what had happened was solve the problem. It's basically what he was saying. It was more along those lines. It didn't fit what happened exactly, but it was more closer than, certainly than the first example.
Did either one of them fit the situation?
No. Didn't know what the situation was, so he was sort of at a disadvantage.
Did you say to him, neither one of those fit?
I believe I said that it wasn't really either of them, but it was more like the second one, is what I... One of us said that. It may have been myself.
Yeah. Was it a crime where there were no feelings involved?
No, but I don't think that's what he said either. The second one was not one where there were no feelings.
When he testified here in court, he said that the second one involved premeditation. Do you remember him using that word when he talked to you and your brother about it?
No.
I don't know, but that, like, that whole thing is another example of, like, just Ozil's strange behavior in that, like, why? Like, why would you...
ask your patients this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a weird way to figure out why your patients killed someone.
Yeah.
Is to, like, present them with two options.
I feel like, doesn't that also not... that doesn't really line up with what Ozil's previous notes were. Because he knew what had happened in terms of, like, they had discussed it a week before and they, like, burst in on their parents and shot them. So, like, why would he need to ask them? Because he already knew that it wasn't like one of them.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really make sense, does it?
Yeah, like...
I just thought of that now.
No, that's very true. Eric had already described to him how the killings happened.
Or at least, well, even from Eric's testimony, right? Like, he had said that, like, yeah, we burst in on our parents. Like, he told him, like, the details about, like, going to San Diego and buying the guns and using Donovan's ID. So clearly that wasn't, at least to Ozil, that wouldn't have been, like, a heat of passion type situation, right? So why would he even need to ask that whole scenario thing in the first place?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I thought that, actually, and it's actually confusing me. Damn, I should be a defense attorney. Why did the lawyers not bring this up? You think that's, like, quite a good cross-examination question, actually.
Yeah. By the end of this November 2nd session, the brothers said that Ozil, like, didn't seem afraid at all anymore, and that he, like, had brought up the, like, estate and was trying to, like, involve himself financially with the brothers to, like, start a business with them or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, telling them that he was under a lot of stress because of Eric having confessed, and, like, they, like, needed to work together because he wasn't able to, like, keep seeing his patients in the same way, and, like, the pressure that it put on him, and so, like, he was concerned, which is just so manipulative.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing the same thing that he was put on probation for originally, right?
Right. So, during the trial, when Dr. Ozil was testifying about the October 31st and November 2nd sessions, he was using a set of notes that he was, like, referencing these notes when he was testifying about what happened. But he didn't take any written notes during the sessions. He had made a voice recording 2 weeks after these sessions took place, where he talked about what happened in those sessions. And so what he was using to refer to recall his memory during the trial was something that was from his memory or his, like, analysis 2 weeks after these sessions took place.
So it was 2 weeks later he took written notes of his memory of the session, and then he dictated those notes, right?
I don't think he ever wrote anything. It was just 2 weeks later he sat down and tape recorded himself talking about what happened in those sessions. Just to be, you know, as transparent as possible, I will say, I think he said it was at most 2 weeks, but it was not, like, right after. But I do think, like, that really alters the accuracy of the notes, in my opinion. It's not necessarily that he was intentionally altering what he was saying, or, like, intentionally making what he said different from what the brothers said happened, but that it just, like, because of the time difference between when Eric told him this stuff and when he recorded it, like, I think that would affect how accurate it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 weeks later, right? So it does call into question, how accurate is your memory of those events? I mean, I have a less favorable view of it. This is a very important moment in his life, right? This is very significant. He's in fear for his life. Like, 2 weeks is a long time. Why wait 2 weeks?
Yeah.
To dictate notes about the session? What that tells me is 2 weeks later, he has a thought in his head, and he's like, oh, maybe I can do something here to get some money out of the brothers. Maybe I can, like, make up certain things that they never actually said but makes them seem worse and threaten to go to the police with it.
One thing that I think supports that is that after the brothers left the October 31st session, Dr. Azeel called another therapist. Dr. Azeel was seeking advice from the therapist of, like, what he should do. And the therapist told him to, like, make a record of what happened in the session as soon as possible. Like, Azeel did not do that. He waited a significant amount of time before making any notation of what had happened in that session.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself is suspicious, I think.
Yeah, that's so much time for him to, you know, insert his own analysis and opinions and, like, I don't know, motivations.
Yeah, and I mean, from all the other witnesses who've testified and all the other information we have about Azeel, that type of thing fits perfectly into the type of person Azeel was.
Mm-hmm. The other suspicious thing that he did was he destroyed all of the notes that he had from therapy that he had had with Eric prior to the confession. I don't know. That makes zero sense to me why he would do that.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the truth, but, like, I have, like, a theory about it. What if there was information in those notes which at least hinted or suggested that there was, like, abuse going on in the house? And maybe he destroyed those notes because he wants to sort of paint the picture that, like, he didn't know of anything, right?
Honestly, that's what I think. Like, I think that Eric may have divulged something to him in those sessions that, like, supports the brother's story, but, like, Azeel wanted to paint a different picture of what Eric had been talking to him about.
Yeah, I can't really think of many other situations that would require Azeel to destroy previous therapy notes. Like, that seems kind of unethical to me, is it not? I mean, Azeel is incredibly unethical, we know this, so, like, it's not a surprise, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you can't even make the argument that, oh, what's to make space because they're really old therapy notes. They're therapy notes from the previous summer. That's a year ago. Those aren't really old therapy notes. We know that Eric was still in contact with Azeel at that point.
Right.
And that he did occasionally, I mean, we know of one time during that same summer where he did make an appointment to go and see Azeel.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of suggests that he still had a therapeutic relationship with Azeel still, like, as one of Azeel's clients. What's the logical reason for destroying your client's therapy notes?
Yeah.
Because you never know when that could be incredibly important.
Right. I did just have a thought of a potential reason why he might have destroyed those notes. Because you know how, like, the main theory that Azeel says the brothers told him for why they killed Kitty was because she was suicidal, right? But, like, according to the brothers, Kitty's main period of being suicidal was 3 years before the brothers killed their parents, so it, like, doesn't really make sense that they would kill Kitty because of that.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Maybe in those notes from Eric's previous sessions, he talked about how Kitty had been suicidal 3 years before, or I guess, you know, 2 years before or whatever, but wasn't really acting that way anymore. But, like, that doesn't support Ozeal's theory, so he destroyed that record.
That is a really interesting theory. I had not thought of that. That was really, really good. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Damn, maybe you should be a lawyer.
Or something like that, you know, where, like, Eric had told Azeel something that, like, didn't really fit with Ozeal's view of why they killed their parents, and so he wanted to destroy, like, that evidence, basically.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm pretty sure in Leslie's closing arguments, I think she does bring that up, the whole, like, when she's refuting some of Ozeal's testimony, where she says, like, Kitty was suicidal 3 years before the killings even took place. She was not exhibiting that behavior in the lead up to the killings. So it's not consistent with Azeel's testimony.
Right. I guess in summary, there's a lot of reason to believe that the notes that Ozeal was using to testify from are not an accurate representation of how that session went, especially on the details of it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I also think that he probably added things that didn't happen, but he added them to the notes to be manipulative.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I think there is certain stuff that he just made up. And also, I think there were certain things the brothers said that 2 weeks later he misinterpreted.
Right. I think it's possible it was both of those things.
Yeah.
After this session, the brothers didn't see Ozeal until a month later in December, which is when they recorded the 1211 tape.
Yeah. I mean, we can go into more detail about the reasons for the tape and, like, the things surrounding it, like, when we do our episode on the tape. I don't know, did Lyle, like, confess to his lawyer?
I think so.
But, and then the lawyer recommended, right, that they do the tape, right? That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's his name, Gerald Chaliff. It's him, right?
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing makes Ozeal look so much worse, because, like, the fact that Lyle told his attorney about this whole situation and, like, was trying to get his advice, like, doesn't that show that Lyle was, or that he, like, didn't really want to be in this situation?
Yeah, or that, like, Lyle was trying to fix the issue rather than, like, threatening Ozeal and, like, doing all these things on his own.
Yeah.
See, that there's, like, information there that I would love to know, but it's all, like, privileged, right?
Yeah, about, like,
so, what, like, Lyle's conversations with Chaliff and what that involved.
Yeah. Because it was, like, attorney-client privilege also.
Yeah. Because what would he have told him? Like, by the way, we killed our parents, and this guy is, we think, might be trying to, like, manipulate us, or, like, we don't really know what's going on. I mean, if Lyle was, like, so, like, didn't want anyone controlling him, or he wanted to, like, live his own life and not be dominated, why would he go to his attorney? Because, like, Lyle didn't know about patient-therapist privilege, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until Ozeal told him. So couldn't you logically assume that Lyle would think the same about, or, like, wouldn't really know about, like, attorney stuff? So if he told his, like, lawyer, like, hey, we killed our parents, how is he to, like, know that his lawyer can't go to the police? And I kind of see that as, like, oh, well, he took a risk here because he's like, oh, wow, like, I need to, like, do something to, like, protect us, right?
Right. I'm not sure when Lyle told Chaliff.
I mean, I'm not saying the Law and Order show is, like, completely 100% accurate, but according to that, on the 31st, when Lyle goes down to meet Eric at the Jeep, he says to, like, Eric, like, oh, I'll meet you back at the house. Like, I need to go, I need to, like, contact Chaliff. He'll know what to do.
Oh.
So that kind of gives an impression that, like, he contacted Chaliff, like, after the 31st.
Hmm.
I don't know how accurate that, I mean, it's the Law and Order show. I'm not, that could just be something that they put in there just to change the order of events, because shows, dramatizations do that.
Right.
Or it could be, like, that show is based on Robert's, like, original manuscript for his book.
Yeah.
So that could be, like, information that Robert knows, and it got put into the show.
If he did tell Chaliff, like, before the November 2nd session, then that does, like, influence that.
Yeah.
And that could have been part of why the brothers felt like they needed to go back. Because, like, Chaliff was the one that told them they should go and record the session.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so over the next few months, going into 1990, Judulon and Ozeal continued to have an affair. And eventually, in early March of 1990, Judulon Smith went to the police and told them that the Menendez brothers had confessed to killing their parents to Dr. Ozeal. Judulon starts to tell the police what she knows. She tells them that Ozeal had a taped confession of the brothers saying that they had killed their parents. Based on this, the police searched Dr. Ozeal's home and seized the tapes. This was really, like, the big break in the case for the police, and what led to the brothers being arrested.
22-year-old Joseph Lyle Menendez and his 19-year-old brother Eric were charged earlier this month with two counts of murder each. The sons were arrested after a warrant was served on the family psychologist in search of evidence.
On behalf of Eric Menendez, we are going to vigorously defend his right to have a confidential communication with his therapist.
The brothers' lawyers fought to have the tapes not be able to be entered as evidence, both the tapes of their therapy session and also his notes about their initial confession from, like, the sessions that we just talked about. This went on for 3 years, and it went all the way up to the California Supreme Court, and they ended up ruling that Dr. Ozeal could testify and talk about what the brothers said to him in the October 31st and the November 2nd sessions because Ozeal had felt threatened. But the tapes with the brothers' voices on them from, like, the December sessions were privileged because Ozeal hadn't felt threatened at that time. Eventually, the tapes with the brothers' voices on them would come into the trial because Judge Weisberg overruled this California Supreme Court ruling.
I believe that that happened because I think the prosecution argued that the brothers had basically forfeited the privilege by basically entering their mental state as evidence in the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it was after the brothers had testified that Weisberg was like, actually, no, like, you can use the tape. But then the defense basically fought over it and was allowed to present it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Which I think it's kind of BS, to be honest. Like, it's already been ruled that you can't use the tape, but then the brothers have to testify, but because they testify, the tape can then be used.
Right.
I don't think Ozeal should have been a witness in the first place. I think it's, like, because of his relationship to the brothers as a therapist, I don't think he ever should have been a witness.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that he should have been allowed to testify to what his patients told him when they thought that what they were saying was confidential.
Yeah, I think I would agree that he should have been able to testify if he had gone to the police and told the police, I've been threatened by my patients.
Right.
But he didn't. And there's evidence that he never would have told the police. So the fact that the prosecution can use him as a witness, I don't know, it's a bit odd to me.
Yeah. Well, they didn't end up using him in the second trial.
That is very true.
I think mainly because in the first trial, he was so completely destroyed on cross-examination that they knew that it would just make him look incredibly bad to have him testify.
And so you tell that to all of your patients?
I tell virtually all patients, to the best of my recollection, at the beginning of therapy.
And you tell them all that. If I determine that you're a danger to another person, then there's no confidentiality. You tell them that.
Yeah, I go through the list of those things.
And do you tell all your patients, if you threaten me, I'm going to tell my wife and girlfriend?
The answer would be that doesn't exist anywhere in any code, and I've never even seen anything written on patients threatening their therapist, so that would be very difficult to tell a patient.
He's more of a hindrance than a case. I think, like, a perfect example of that is that channel, Legal Bites, right?
Mm-hmm.
She completely is, like, discredited Ozeal, and she's like, he's ridiculous, like, what a ridiculous guy, like. And she saw, like, how destroyed he was on cross-examination. And I think for a lawyer, someone who's, like, who knows about a lot about the field and is sort of trained in this, to say that says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other proof that he was really turned out to be a very bad witness for the prosecution was that in Hazel Thornton's book, she says, like, she didn't believe a single word he said. And, like, even the people in the jury who didn't believe the brothers also thought that he was a terrible witness and didn't believe anything he said. In watching his, like, cross-examination and his testimony, he's just so stubborn. I don't know how else to describe it. He, like, refuses to definitively answer questions. Like, he's always like, I believe that it was like this. Or, like, I don't recall. To the point that, like, Leslie Abramson was very visibly frustrated with him because he wouldn't give a definitive answer.
So I take it then that when you told Eric and Lyle about the limits of confidentiality on October 31st, you couldn't have told them, and if you threaten me, I have a right to do thus and such, because you didn't know that then. Isn't that true?
No, it's not true. I was applying the evidence code exceptions at the time, and evidence code 1024 says that under conditions where the patient is a threat to another, that there is no confidentiality. And on that basis, I told them that if, in fact, they were threatening and threatening to harm me or anyone else, that there would be no confidentiality. And that is, in fact, what I told them.
You told them that on October 31st?
Absolutely.
You said, if you threaten me, there's no confidentiality.
I said, if you threaten anyone, if you are threatening to anyone, threatening to harm anyone, there is no confidentiality. Absolutely, I told them that.
You told them both that?
Yes, I did.
And did you then tell them both, now I feel threatened, so there's no confidentiality?
I told Lyle very expressly that he was menacing to me.
In fact, I told him
several times that he was menacing and threatening to me.
You didn't tell that to Eric?
No, I didn't perceive that Eric in that session was being threatening or menacing to me.
You just thought he was going to murder you that night. Is that right?
I thought that...
Yes? That, is that yes?
I'm trying to answer the question, and I can't answer it yes or no.
Okay.
Would you like me to explain it?
No.
I think that Leslie Abramson is an amazing lawyer, and like her cross-examination of Ozeal really showed that. However, she was really aggravating the judge with the way that she was conducting it.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
He like threatened to silence her. I don't know what the official legal term is, but like,
didn't he threaten to have her like reprimanded?
Yeah,
because of like her behavior, right? And then she says that she felt like that. Oh, doesn't she say that? Oh, there's only so much like one can take, right, or something like that, when she's arguing with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of like a big part of it was that Ozeal was really aggravating her with the way that he was answering mm-hmm. questions, and then she was like not keeping her composure when he was aggravating her, and then the judge was like, you need to cool it. I think it was a combination of like her feeling frustrated at how Ozeal was, you know, being a very difficult person during that cross-examination, and also that the judge was being difficult with her and not letting her do her thing, basically.
Yeah. It's cross-examination, though, so the lawyers are allowed to get aggressive, aren't they? Kind of. Because I know, something that I noticed, though, is that through watching the trial again through Legal Bites stream, Pam especially can get quite aggressive with witnesses, but the way Weisberg treats Pam is so different to Leslie.
Hmm.
Like, it takes him a while to actually, like, reprimand her and say that, like, oh, okay, don't argue with the witness. But when he does, like, he just says it calmly, like, don't argue with the witness, da 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 da. But whenever it's Leslie, like, he gets so mad. I remember, like, a couple weeks ago, I was watching parts of one of Eric's experts, not Anne, but Anne Tyler, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
When Pam is cross-examining her, like, after every single question Pam makes, she like, looks at the jury and rolls her eyes and, like, basically makes faces and, like to try and make it seem to the jury, like, oh, I can't, like, there's no way you're believing this, right? And she, like, just the faces she would make and, like, her eyes rolling. I'm like, why does Weisberg never call that out?
I mean, I think that shows his bias.
So what are our thoughts in conclusion?
Well, I feel like there's certain elements of, like, his testimony that I do think that, like, there was some truth to it. I don't think that he was, like, completely lying about everything. But I do think that he manipulated what happened to benefit him. And I think that he used the brother's confession to his own benefit and to manipulate Judelon and to manipulate the brothers and just for his own gain, as opposed to like doing the right thing, which would have been to try to convince them to go to the police.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd also say that I think in general, I think a lot of what Ozeal's notes are like his own conclusions about what happened and his own like ruminations, because from what the brothers say, or what Eric says, right, is that they were sort of just like going along with what Ozil was saying, and they were saying they didn't really know what happened, and then Ozil was kind of giving them theories, and like they were basically saying, oh yeah, it could have been that and stuff, right?
Right, yeah.
And I think something that kind of proves that, which we'll get into in our next episode, is the 12/11 tape. I think that tape exemplifies exactly what Ozil was doing throughout this whole situation and like what his motivations were.
I agree. I guess my hope is that like this episode gives like a good foundation of why we believe certain things about Ozil and like our opinions about it, so that when we like go into the tape, it makes much more sense why the brothers said certain things on that tape when you understand like the dynamics going on with Dr. Ozil.
Yeah. Overall, I think it just gives like a very good foundation for the tape, the 12/11 tape.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support.